The off season, and it's a lockout. What are we going to talk about? I'll tell you what. It's time to open up the old Sully baseball vault. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available for free on all your podcast platforms. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode, we're going to open up the vault, the old Sully Baseball Show, and to talk about the teams that didn't win at all that are beloved by fan bases. It's a classic episode from a few years ago, but I think it still holds up. This show is available here on YouTube, on all the podcast platforms. Follow us on Twitter at Lockdown MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So for those of you who are relatively new to the show, I used to do a show called Sully Baseball Daily, which did a episode every single day between the World Series of 2012 and just before opening day 2017. I continued doing Sully Baseball, not as a daily podcast, for a year or so afterwards, where I finally shut it down and then revived the podcast in a new form, which became Locked On MLB. That's kind of the origin story of this particular show. But back on January 31st, 2015, I did a podcast that I really liked. It's one of those that I think, well, there's some elements you'll hear that didn't hold up because it was in 2015. So it was before the Cubs won the 2016 World Series. So obviously you're going to hear me say a few things like they haven't won since the first decade of the 20th century. But I talk a little bit about the concept of teams that are beloved by fan bases that didn't win at all and that are still, you know, held close to the hearts of various fan bases. And I started off talking a little bit about Bonnie Hunt, the great actress who's been in tons of great movies, great writer, producer, whether you've seen Jerry Maguire, Jumanji, Pixar films, Return to Me. The Bonnie Hunt Show was a show that I used to produce on, and something her mother posted was something that caught my attention and sparked a podcast way back in January of 2015 that I thought I'd share with you, especially because I know I have some new listeners who may not know some of the stuff I did in the past. And while I'm putting together this week of shows, I decided to go in the vault. Now, for those of you watching on YouTube, there was not a video podcast back in 2015, so there's not going to be a lot to see in terms of video there. But please enjoy this episode of the Old Sully Baseball Daily podcast from January 31st, 2015, that has some stuff that I think is still valuable for today.
There was a really nice thing I saw on Twitter today. It was sent out by the mother of my former boss, Bonnie Hunt. I was a producer on the Bonnie Hunt Show for a little bit. It was one of my favorite jobs I've ever had in television. And I follow Bonnie on Twitter. And I also follow her mom. Her mom used to be on the show all the time. And she was wonderful. And I got to meet her a few times. And she just was... she's just not starstruck at all. I mean, anyone could come, Napoleon, anyone could come back, and she's like, oh, how are you? Nice to see you. And she posted a Vimeo on her Twitter feed of Bonnie and of her, Alice Hunt, and the late Ernie Banks singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And she gives Ernie Banks a big hug and says, I know it's going to be this year. I know it's going to be this year. Meaning, of course, the Cubs winning the World Series. Of course it wasn't, because They haven't won in Alice Hunt's lifetime. They haven't won in the lifetime of anyone born after the first decade of the 20th century. And they've gone through enough people. I've made the suggestion of making Bonnie the manager. Why not? But the death of Ernie Banks, and I talked about it at length last weekend and his legacy and everything like that. But it got me thinking about something. The last time I was in Chicago, I've been in Chicago for a while. The last time I was in Chicago, it was 2003. I was there January of 2003, and I went up to Wrigley Field. Of course, Wrigley Field was covered in snow. There was a blizzard in Chicago. I was there as I was performing somewhere in Chicago, and I was still doing comedy at the time. And I went to the Navy Pier, the Navy Yards, whatever that's called along the Lake Michigan, where they had a Ferris wheel going. And I said, an outdoor Ferris wheel in the middle of a snowstorm in Chicago. And they were running it. And of course, there was nobody on it. So I went on it. I mean, I bundled myself up. I said, I'm going to do that. And the reason I did that is so 13 years later, I can say it on my podcast. I went up to Wrigleyville, which is wonderful. I know they've rebuilt some stuff and they've probably blocked a lot of the windows of the apartments that used to look over Wrigley Field. Bonnie Hunt, by the way, used to live in one of those. And I just took a walk around because I love ballparks and everything. I love ballparks even when there's nobody there. And I stopped into one of the many restaurants that are around there just to, you know, to grab a bite to eat. And I saw that they had pictures of the very few recent playoff teams of the Cubs. Now, at the time, that was 2003. That was before the infamous collapse of the 2003 playoffs, which is as close as they've gotten to the World Series in a long time. They had a picture, of course, of the 84 team that also got to within a game of the World Series. They had a picture of the 89 Cubs team that lost in the NLCS to San Francisco. They had a picture of the wild card Cubs team of 1998, who got swept by Atlanta. But most lovingly, they had a huge display for the 1969 Cubs. And I was looking at this, like, of all the other ones, a lot of stuff, Ryne Sandberg, Andre Dawson, Sammy Sosa, who was still loved at the time there, all the players who were on there, Kerry Wood. But the biggest shrine, basically, of this place, and it was almost all Cubs stuff because it was right across the street from Wrigley, was for the 69 Cubs, a team that didn't make the postseason. And that stuck with me because when you really take a look at it, you see why. If you saw who was on that Cubs team, if you saw that roster, you say, of course that's the most loved Cubs team. Look, I mean, I've gone to baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth. 1969 Cubs were managed by Leo Durocher, Hall of Fame manager. Look at some of the people who were on that team. Randy Hundley was on that team. Ernie Banks was on that team. Ron Santo was on that team. Billy Williams was on that team. In that lineup alone, you have Banks, Santo, Williams. Three Hall of Famers in the lineup. That doesn't count Jim Hickman, who was a big power hitter. That doesn't include Don Kessinger, who was a solid shortstop. Or Glenn Beckert, who was a 291 hitting second baseman, back when they didn't have many 291 hitting second basemen. They had three Hall of Famers in the lineup. They also had Fergie Jenkins in the rotation. By the way, Fergie Jenkins was 26 years old in 1969. He threw 311 and one-third innings. 343 appearances, 42 starts. He came out, he got a save. 23 complete games. Pitched to a 3.2 earned run average. So you had three Hall of Famers in the lineup. You had a Hall of Fame ace. You had Bill Hands, who was a very good pitcher that year. Probably actually, except for innings, topped Fergie Jenkins in almost every category. Ken Holtzman, who of course was a wonderful pitcher and later was a wonderful pitcher for the Oakland A's. And they had some other talented pitchers as well. Dick Selma, Ted Abernathy, Hank Aguirre, Phil Regan. They were a good team. And this was a club, if this team won it all. And by the way, they also had a very young Oscar Gamble on the team. I don't think he did much for the team that year, but he was on the squad. He was 19 years old. But you had a team where you had three Hall of Famers, and it was Ernie Banks' last really good year. I mean, he really faded out after that. He had moved to first base. And he had been playing forever at that point for the Cubs. A chance to have that Cub team win.
All right, let's talk a little bit about stance. Stance. We're talking about socks. Red Sox, White Sox, stance socks. They got the colorful and comfortable socks that you can go get at Stance. It's well made, super soft, entirely unique, and it's fun to wear. You've got a lot of great designs. It's perfect for holiday gifting, and it's the coolest gift you can give. All right, it's comfortable, whether you like your socks, whether you like your shirts, whether you like your joggers, whether you like your hoodies. Now, it's not your boring old socks. All right, you can have a whole different kind of design for all the new designs, whether you're going to have Star Wars, Pixar, a bunch of Bonnie characters, The Office, Harry Potter, Disney, Marvel, Bob Marley, Wu-Tang Clan, Batman, The Goonies. All right, founded in 2009, Stance Apparel represents radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel with a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity. Stance brings an atypical aesthetic along with some of pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression, because everything you wear will be a direct extension of who you are. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in. Those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself. Register for an account at stance.com. Get 15% off your first purchase. Use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to apply. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. Okay, let's get back to the podcast from January 31st, 2013, talking about the loved franchises.
Now, of course, if you're a Cub fan, you want any Cub team to win. You want any slap-together Cub team to come together and win a championship. I can tell you that as a Boston Red Sox fan. The team that won the World Series finally in 2004 was slapped together from other organizations. I loved that team, but there weren't a lot of homegrown Red Sox on that team. There weren't a lot of lifelong Red Sox players on that team. You know, you had the, you know, Varitek, who was actually picked up from Seattle, but who's counting, or Trot Nixon, who later went elsewhere. But most of the team was just, you know, people were superstars signed from other clubs or were retreads who had career years. That was a slap-together team. This was a homegrown team of legends. And yeah, a Cub fan would want any Cub team to win, but you would want the team that was filled with legends, that was filled with most beloved players. Can you imagine? This is a team where you have Billy Williams, Hall of Fame slugger, and by the absolute best chance, he's the third most loved player on this Cubs team. It comes down to Santo and Banks and Jenkins and Williams to have that team win it with DeRocher leading the way. That may have been the most... They didn't even win the division. And it's mind-boggling. Of course, I didn't see the 69 Cubs. And for years, I thought of 1969 as a year for a beloved team with a blue cap and pinstripes that did win the World Series, and that was the Mets. And the 69 Mets had so many players. They had players who were part of the original Mets team in 62. They had the most beloved men of all time, Tom Terrific. They had Kuzmin and Gentry and all the other players, and Crane Pool and Tommy Agee. All these loved members of the Mets were on that team. So I've always associated with that. This has all happened before I was born. But remember, this Chicago Cubs team had a 9-9 game lead in early August. And after Labor Day, on the, what day was this? Maybe not quite after Labor Day, but on the second day of, no, it was after Labor Day, the second day of September, they had a 5-game lead. They still had a 5-game lead on the third day of September. And after that, they famously, the Mets went 23-6, the Cubs went 8-17, and the Mets shot past them and won the division and ultimately beat the Braves in the first NLCS and the Orioles in the World Series. And the team faded after that. The players got old, and the Cubs didn't make the postseason even as a division winner until the 1984 team, which had Ryne Sandberg and Rick Sutcliffe and Leon Durham and a lot of other beloved Cubs on that team as well. But the point I'm making is, yeah, you want a team at any cost. This Boston fan will tell you that. But the chance to win with that club would have been just the perfect team to win it all. I'll tell you, I have to sit down. One of these days I'll sit down and find which perfect teams won it. I can tell you for recent Yankee fans, like people who are my age or maybe 5 or 6 years younger than me, if you look them in the eyes of which one was the perfect Yankee team to win it all, they probably would say the 98 Yankees, because they had the entire core of, and I'm including Bernie in the core, Bernie, Jeter, Posada, Pettit, Rivera, but they also had David Cohn and David Wells and Paul O'Neill and Scott Brosius and Tino Martinez and Girardi as the player, and they had, you know, and they had Tim Raines was on the team, and Ramiro Mendoza was on the team, and they didn't have Clemens on the team. They didn't have A-Rod on the team. There were some of the players that were hard for Yankee fans to root for. I bet the one that they're most glowing about would be that one. I think if you're an Atlanta Braves fan, I think maybe you would have picked 93, but like 95 had almost all the most beloved players. You know, the only ones that Sid Bream wasn't on the team and Terry Pendleton wasn't on the team. But Javier Lopez was, and Chipper Jones, and Greg Maddux, and Tom Glavine. So they got to have a championship where all their super beloved players won it. You know, the Dodgers in 81 is probably the most beloved champion because they had Garvey, they had Say, they had Lopes, they had Valenzuela. The only big star they didn't have on that team was Sutton, but everyone else, Reggie Smith, Rick Monday, Steve Yeager, all those beloved Dodgers got to win. You see a team of beloved players like that, then they all get to win like that. That's a special thing. Now, as someone who follows the Red Sox closely and the Giants closely, I was thinking about, can both of those teams have won the last few World Series? And the teams that have won are beloved. But you take a look at it, I was thinking of what would be the equivalent of that 69 Cubs team for, say, the Giants. And I almost can't, almost no hesitation would be, again, another team that played before I was born. But if the 1971 Giants had won it, just think about this. This is a team that had Willie McCovey. This is a team that had Willie Mays. It also had Bobby Bonds. It also had Chris Spire. It also had a lot of players who this was their only, for a lot of players, this was their only postseason appearance, like Bobby Bonds, like Dave Kingman, like Gaylord Perry. And Juan Marichal was on this team, and I mean, there was one other big one who was on that. Who am I missing? That was a big one. Let me click over here. I mentioned Tito Fuentes was on that team. And that was a super – I mean, you see that club. And I said, imagine if that team won it all. And they got to the NLCS. And they won the first game of the NLCS. And they lost a one-run game that Marichal pitched wonderfully in Game 3. And they had a 5-2 lead in Game 4 and wound up losing that game as well. And the other Giants team that would have been super beloved had they won would have been that 93 team, the first year Bonds won, the team that won 103 ball games and missed the postseason because of the way the divisions were laid out. And I think because that would have featured Bonds, skinny Bonds, but also Will Clark, also Matt Williams, also Robbie Thompson, also Rod Beck. You know, a lot of there were players who were left over from the 89 year. It would have been the revival. It would have been a championship at Candlestick. That would have been just the absolute perfect team to win.
Hey, thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. We're available free on all your podcast platforms. This is also sponsored by Bet Online, which remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head in for the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online is where the game starts. Back to the classic Sully Baseball podcast episode from January 31st, 2015.
I was thinking about for the Red Sox. And I think, and I'm writing a piece about why 1978 and why 1986 still hurt. And it isn't because, oh, I'll never see them win a World Series, because I've seen them win a bunch. But when you look at that team in 78, and you look at how it was put together, you would have had, like that 69 Cubs team, you had a lineup that had three Hall of Famers in it. Jim Rice, Carlton Fisk, and Carl Yastrzemski, all of them with their names retired on the wall up there. But so many other beloved Red Sox, Jerry Remy, George Scott, Rick Burleson, my favorite Red Sox at that time, Butch Hobson, Dwight Evans, Fred Lynn. That's the most beloved. This isn't just me speaking as a Red Sox partisan. This is someone who knows that these are players who, for Red Sox fans, they're just beloved. And you also have a future, you know, another future broadcaster, Bob Montgomery, was on there. And you would have had Louis Tiant. You would have had Bill Spaceman Lee was on there. And of course, you had Eckersley and you had Torres. I mean, that would have been, if that team had won at all, and we all know how close they came, if that team had won at all, that would be the most just absolutely adored team in the history of Boston. I don't think anything would be close. And it's not just seeing your team win. You know, you're seeing your team win. I mean, in 2013, when the Red Sox won the World Series, yeah, they had Ortiz, and they had Pedroia and Lester. But a lot of those guys were newcomers. You know, Gomes and Stephen Drew and Mike Napoli. And I loved all of them. But it was, they put on the uniform and won the games, and that was great. But seeing the players that you invested your emotion in and that you loved and that you associated with that team, like the players I just listed, you know, Tiant and Bill Lee and Fisk and Yastrzemski, or on the 86 team, Boggs and, you know, Evans there again, and Marty Barrett and Rich Gedman and Oil Can Boyd and Bruce Hurst and all those other people who invested their time and years. When those teams win it, that's when they become the super beloved team. It's one of the reasons why I feel happy for San Francisco Giants fans right now. because they've seen several championships and can invest their time and energy and love knowing that they're players who are not just guys who put on the uniform, but you really associate with the team. Lincecum, Bumgarner, Kane, Posey, all of them. And so I guess it's a good thing they won it. They won the World Series, because they would have been included in this list as well. But I'll watch that clip of Alice Hunt singing with Ernie Banks. Alas, the Cubs won't win one with Ernie Banks watching on, at least not on Earth. But this current team is being put together with a lot of young players who are coming up, and maybe, just maybe, if they win, they'll be filled with the players and say, man, that was a great team and filled with so many players that we loved. You know, kind of like what could have happened in 1969.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that. I like going back and re-listening to some of the old episodes. By the way, if you want to, you just subscribe to Sully Baseball on iTunes or whatever you get your podcasts. We're available there as well. I guess it's called Apple Podcasts now. Wherever you get your podcasts, type in Sully Baseball. You can listen to some of the back episodes and go into some deep dives there. I enjoy pulling those out. Thanks so much for making us your first listen. Your second listen, have it be Locked On Bets. For all your bets needs, follow your boy Q and get really terrific analysis from Lee Sterling, including picks and the best ones to put down your bets on. And then you go to Bet Online. You see it all works. It's all symbiotic. Open up the vault and seeing there's some interesting stuff in there. This has been Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.